And this is wrong. This is not the approach that Jesus wants us to take in this section of Scripture. We're dealing with oaths. And so, yes, certainly there are oaths out there that people take in professions all the time. The purpose of oath-taking is to create reliability and credibility and trust. It gives assurance that you will do what you say you're going to do. And these oath takers consist of doctors. They take a Hippocratic oath. Elected officials are sworn in under oath. A husband and wife, a man and a woman, at their wedding ceremony, they take vows. That is an oath to one another to be faithful, to be dependable. Our court system is designed to ask people to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, under oath. Our military, and since it's Memorial Weekend, we want to honor them this evening with a lesson, but our military, when they go through enlistment, they have an oath that they say that they will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Those are oaths that are built under a court system. These are not the oaths that Jesus is condemning here in this section of Scripture. Jesus is condemning, he's referring to our everyday conversations, our everyday language and business dealings, not the one that is by the state in order for us to testify. Your reason for taking an oath in court is to respect the law. It is not using an oath to vindicate yourself or to make yourself look good, which is what Jesus is against in this section of Scripture. So Matthew 5, verses 33 and 34, we have that contrast. Again, I want you to remember the contrast that Jesus has given us. You have the intent and the design of the law, God's standard, what it was trying to accomplish in the heart. And then you had the Pharisees who were lowering God's standard. Verse 33, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all. So the Pharisees were making oaths to God and not following through with them, or they were being deceptive in their making vows to God. And Jesus is contrasting this by saying, just don't swear at all. Just avoid it. Just don't do it. In your everyday conversations, in your business dealings, just let your yes be yes and let your no be no. Swearing meant that you were strongly pledging to perform a future action or strongly affirming that which is said is the absolute truth. To swear by any person or anything is to invoke that power thereof, even if you are pledging that you have the power. So this is speech that is unacceptable by God. The speech, again, that is acceptable is if you say yes, just mean yes. If you say no, well, then people don't have to question what you mean by saying no. They know that your no means no. There's nothing deceptive beyond it. Jesus says if you go past that, then you go into the Pharisaical realm, and you lower God's standard, and now you're being deceptive. Pharisees were not trustworthy people. When you talk about Pharisees now and think about the legacy that they've left behind, do you think of things that are positive and good? Do you think, when someone talks about Pharisees and you know your Bible, do you think, yeah, I wish I had one of those friends that was a Pharisee? No, they didn't leave a good legacy behind. They were dishonest, they were unreliable, they were untrustworthy. So what should Christians do? Christians should do their very best not to play games with their words and with your promises. Again, Jesus made it real simple for us. If you say yes, then mean yes. If you say no, then you mean no. Christians are to be honest, simple, and sincere in all of our speech and all of our actions. G.K. Wallace, an old gospel preacher, he is quoted as saying this: he could explain his position on any issue on a postcard and still have room for the address. Simple, clear, honest. Mean what you say, say what you mean, do what you say you're going to do. Make every effort to follow through with it. Verses 34 and 35, the rest of 34. Neither by heaven, so Jesus said, do not swear at all, which we just covered. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. So in other words, he says, don't swear by God's throne, don't swear by earth, and don't swear by Jerusalem. Why? Heaven is God's throne. Earth is his footstool. Jerusalem is the city of the great king. In other words, what is he telling us? Everything belongs to God. God owns everything. God sustains everything. Everything that exists depends upon God. So if you go past, if you begin to invoke God in this regard, then even if you swear by the earth, it's his footstool. It still belongs to him. God is still a part of that oath that you're making. The Pharisees were constantly looking for loopholes. You could say that they were the ones who invented the small print at the bottom of the agreement that no one reads. You could say that they were the first little kids to cross their fingers behind their backs and telling you and making a deal and making a promise to your face. They were brilliant and geniuses at finding ways to get out of what they said they would do. They were excellent at binding restrictions on everyone else. The Pharisees came up with two kind of oaths. One was binding, which invoked the name of God, like saying, I swear to God. Or another one, which was based on objects like the altar, which they say were not binding. So if you could find some poor, uneducated person who is foolish enough, if you were a Pharisee, if you were to find someone foolish enough to make a deal with you, and this deal was sworn in or based upon some inferior object other than God, well then if you ripped them off, that was their fault. They should have never have made their arrangements with you or agreement. That's not a good way to live. What type of reputation do you leave behind? So they made a deal with people, and they say, well, we're going to make a deal by the gold of the temple or by the altar. And again, if you were foolish enough to make a business transaction with them and they ripped you off, well, then that was your fault. They're not bound by that. They're not bound by that oath that they just made with you. So again, that's just bad luck for you. You should have read the fine print at the bottom of the agreement under a black light. That was your fault. So that is the kind of underhandedness that Jesus is trying to eliminate in the people, in the lives of his church members, especially if you're going to be part of his great kingdom in heaven. If you want to live with God in the future and in his heavenly abode, then you have to be honest. Look what Jesus does with the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23. And to set the stage for you, let's read verses 1 through 5. Matthew 23, verses 1 through 5. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and said to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do. They don't follow through with anything. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. Do you see the kind of heart condition that these people had? We're going to come back to this at a later portion of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6 and go back over this again, because these individuals had wretched hearts. They had bad intentions. Go over to verse 16, and Jesus is going to condemn their speech. Woe to you blind guides. So we're in Matthew 23, verse 16. Whoever swears by the temple, it is nothing, But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing. But whoever swears by the gift that is on it, he is obliged to perform it. Verse 19. Fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. In other words, everything belongs to God. So if you make an oath by the temple of God, the temple is where God dwells. It all belongs to him. So if you swear by heaven, by earth, by Jerusalem or some city, by some object, it all belongs to God. So you're still pulling God in on the oath. That's the kind of speech that Jesus is condemning. Do not swear by things you have no control over, including the very hairs on your head. That's what he covers next in Matthew chapter 5. We have no control over things that exist on this realm. Verse 36, nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. Now, we have definitely made advances in men's hair color control, right? I mean, if someone's hair is going gray, they can just put some color treatment in it and make it back to its original color, either brown or black or whatever. But none of us can control the aging process. None of us can control those things. And Jesus says, well, then control what you can control. And that's your speech. Honesty, integrity, follow through. Let your yes be yes, and let your no mean no. Telling the truth and being honest with our words is something we should strongly care about. We as Christians and followers of Jesus, we stand on the truth. So think about the two things that are opposite of one another. We have the truth and lies. John 8:44 tells us that the Pharisees had followed the devil, followed him in their lies and in their deception. You go back to the Garden of Eden, and that's exactly what the serpent, the devil, did with Eve. He deceived her. He beguiled her. He tricked her. He was underhanded. He manipulated the situation. He manipulated God's word. Just let your words be honest. God's word is faithful and reliable. God is simple and direct. He's plain and easy to understand. There's no manipulation or games with God. When God promises eternal life, it's guaranteed. It's there for you. It's not like we're going to pass away and we've lived for God and Him say, oops, sorry, I made a mistake. You know what? I forgot to place heaven up here. I forgot to get you a room up here. No, God is faithful. He's going to do what He says He's going to do. Turn now to James chapter 5. So the Jews certainly had an issue with their language, and this affects one's eternity. James chapter 5, look at verse 12. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Again, the Jews had an issue with this, with finding loopholes, with finding the gray areas, with blurring the lines between truth and lies, and trying to get over on people. James is saying, don't do that. God doesn't deal with you like that. God has promised eternity to us. He's faithful. He's true. And if you want to be like God, if you want to follow Jesus and stand on the truth, then have some integrity with your words. Back up in this context to verse 4. And look what he says to these individuals. Well, really in verse 1 he says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be your witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Remember their mindset? It was focused on earthly things. They didn't care if they ripped people off. They didn't care if they were being dishonest. They didn't care if they told you they were going to do something and never did it. Look at verse 4. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. You have lived on earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and you have murdered the just. He's not resisting you. He's letting you go down that path. The judge is going to wait to judge you. Look at verse 7. Therefore, be patient until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives the early and latter rain. The Lord is our judge. He's waiting to judge us. And he's saying, don't be corrupted. Let your speech be honest. God is waiting, and he's going to bless those who endure and who are honest, who are just like their Father in heaven. Honesty, integrity, reliability, words like being trustworthy are all reflection of the image of Jesus. I love how 1 Peter puts it. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in the midst of being surrounded with sinners and people who are corrupted and dishonest. I mean, they've blasphemed him. They've made up lies about who he was. Look what Peter says. Verse 21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Follow Jesus, don't follow the steps of the devil. Verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return, when he suffered, he did not threaten, he committed himself to him who judges righteously. That's exactly what James is teaching us. That's exactly what Jesus is teaching in Matthew 23 and Matthew chapter 5. If you want to be like God, you got to act like God. You got to talk like him and you got to walk like him. Jesus wasn't deceptive. He didn't mislead people. He was clear, honest, direct. Make it easy. If you say yes, you mean yes. If you say no, you mean no. If you make a promise with someone, follow through with it. Do what you say you're going to do. If you say that you're a follower of Jesus, well, then have you followed all of his commands? Honestly, can you say yes or can you say no without any gray lines or gray areas, without blurring lines between truth and lies? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? Or can you say, oh yeah, I've been baptized, but it was a month after I was saved. Well, that's deceptive. Well, then what were you baptized for? Oh, I was baptized in order to symbolize that I'm already a saved Christian. Well, who told you that? God didn't say that. Some man told you. And unfortunately, you know where that man got that information? He got it from a serpent in a garden. That's a lie. Honestly, can you read God's word and say, I've followed him. I know where I'm going. Well, if you've started down the path of truth and honesty, continue walking down that path. That's what Christians do. If you need to repent of sins, follow the Savior. All he asks for is a change of mind and a change of life. If you need to be a Christian and be baptized for the remission of your sins, we would love to help you. If you need to repent of sins, change your lifestyle. Change the way you're living. Come to God. And if you need us to pray with you and for you, we would love to do that.